There you go. Much better. Looking for a good spot to watch NFL games this Sunday? Come by Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of the 29-degree beer, and join 102.5 The Game for the pregame show before the Titans take on the Browns. Pregame show brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works and Circa Sportsbook, Kentucky. Welcome back in. Chase and Big Joe are out today. They're in Rayon City making crayons. So we wish them the best of luck. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier with you today. We're awaiting the arrival of one Chris Sanders, but you know him. Casually late, fashionably late, but better late than never, I guess. So
yeah, he'll join us at some point.
Yeah, he will.
He's probably in the midst of, you know, doing his
daily routine. He's making crayons, too.
We just didn't get the memo.
Yeah. We're stuck here. We could be in Rayon City, home of the gods,
yeah,
making crayons.
I really was curious to ask Chris about just the Titans in general when it comes to just your outside pieces and Elk Eilmanner and Chim Dike. I mean, him being a former wide receiver and those two guys that are starting to catch form, I wonder how much that, you know, I guess the game planning for those guys will open up the play for guys like Chigakonko and Gunnar Helm. What do you think?
You got to get Chim Dike involved early. I think we've learned that throughout the season because that's when he's most effective. Elk Eilmanner, he has had kind of a downward slide from the start of the season. At the beginning of the season, we thought Titans may have gotten a steal here. And maybe they still have. There's plenty of time for us to figure that out. But he just hasn't been as effective as he was at the start of the season, which has kind of led to the emergence of Chim Dike. And I'm okay with that. Look, I don't think Chim Dike is a number one receiver on any team. He's probably a two or three at best when he hits his ceiling. But as far as special teams are concerned, that's an all-pro level player. So getting him involved in the offense is beneficial. I think you're just kind of waiting it out until you can get someone in the draft, whether that be a Jordan Tyson or who is the kid from USC, Mekhi Lemon.
Yep.
Yeah, you're waiting it out to get a guy. And now, here he is. Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders joins the program now. Uncle Chris, what's up?
Champion, what is going on, man? How y'all doing today, man? I'm just sitting there at the hospital with my mom. Make sure she's doing all right.
Oh,
is everything okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, everything was good. Just her treatment that she had, she's going through. So, yeah, I'm just chilling, man. And that's it. Just thank God for another day for my mom. That's it, brother.
Of course. Well, we're sending prayers your way that everything goes
thank
well.
You, thank you.
Let's talk a little football, shall we? It is the matchup everyone has been waiting to see. Cam Ward versus Shedeur Sanders.
Oh, my gosh.
What do you make of this battle of just two complete gods of the football field?
I know. The thing about it is, I mean, you have two young guys, two young rookie guys. We're going to see who is the best because you got to remember, at the beginning of the year or in the summertime, these guys were competing, you know, practicing against each other. You had Shedeur Sanders, they wanted to take pictures, but then you had Cam, they wanted to get some work done. So I think it's going to be, you know, just a test to see who's the best receiver in that draft. And I think that there's going to be some good competitive juices. Both teams are not doing well, but at the end of the day, these guys are competitors, and they definitely want to beat each other. Absolutely.
Yeah, Chris, I was just talking with Connor before we hopped on the line with you here about just guys like Elk Eilmanner and Chim Dike. Just when it comes to defenses starting the game plan for the powerhouse, what they bring to the game, what does that do for guys like Chigakonko and Gunnar Helm to open up the play for them?
Yeah, I mean, it just makes your offense better. I mean, whoever thought at the beginning of the season that DK and Elek and these guys will be a prominent, you know, in this offense. You have Ridley that was supposed to be the guy to take the top off the defense, but now you got DK that can run those crossing routes and take the top off the defense. And you got Elek who has a big body that can make those plays. So, you know, it just opens it up for everybody. So now when those guys get double coverage, then you have Chig, you have Gunnar Helm that can definitely make some plays, you know, out there. So it's interesting. I know everybody's kind of like, you know, these are our guys, but those young guys are getting experience, and those guys can play.
And then for a guy like Chigakonko, kind of umbrella himming into that question last, well, how much do you have to see out of him the last, four or five games of the season? Because it's a deciding factor for guys like Mike Borgonzi and company.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is it's Chig has to not play in spurts. He plays in spurts to where one game he has good and then the next game, you know, he disappears. I don't know if that's the play they call. I don't know if they want to keep two tight ends to block, but he's got to show up on film to be like, okay, I need to see more. I know he makes plays, you know, sometimes, but I need to see him make plays all the time, because when you have that type of skill set coming out of Maryland, you want to be a guy that always shows up on film and then put danger actually in opposing defenses. And I just think he just plays in spurts. We need to be consistent and play football.
Chris, the past 2 weeks we've kind of seen the best and worst of Cam Ward. I think Sunday or two Sundays ago against the Seattle Seahawks, we probably saw the best Cam Ward game in two-tone blue we've seen.
Right.
Then last week against the Jags, we probably see the worst. How do you find a happy medium between those two games and just go out on the field and deliver?
But see, let's first start with the Seattle game. What was the difference in the Seattle game? The difference was that he was more decisive. If he took a three-step drop and nothing was there, he would take off and use his feet. So he was doing better in that aspect. But then you get in the Jaguars game, and I don't know if it's because of the offensive line, that he couldn't even go through his reads, and he just was throwing the ball off key, and guys were open, but he just wasn't making plays. So you have a guy that's decisive one game and not decisive the next game. The medium is you got to be a consistent player, because if you look at some of the great quarterbacks in the league that are playing well, like Drake May, he may not have the big numbers, but he's consistent each and every week, and that's what you want from your young rookie quarterback. I mean, there's some plays in there to where he throws the ball, you'd be like, man. But then on the next three plays, he's throwing the ball to way in the stands when a guy is open. So he just got to be consistent.
Let's focus on this game coming up next. I'll flip it over to the other side of the ball for the Browns, at least. They have maybe the most dynamic player on defense in the entire league in Myles Garrett, a guy that is just four and a half sacks away from breaking the NFL record in sacks. If you're J.C. Latham, and knowing the season that you've had this year, and the guy that you're probably going to have to start blocking this week, what do you do? How do you build upon such a bad season and finally deliver?
Listen, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have another tight end over there to help Jason Latham. Because, listen, I don't care how good an offensive tackle you are. When you got Myles Garrett that has 19 sacks already, he's a monster. He's wrecking shop. And he's one of those football players that you feel on the field. When I say feel on the field, he's always impacting every play. If it's a pass, it's a run, whatever it is, he's consistently there. So Jason Latham, he better have good technique. He better keep his head on the swivel. And then also, if I'm Bo Hardigree, the offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans, I'm going to make sure I have a tight end out there, go 12 personnel, and make sure there's a tight end to make sure he can block Myles Garrett.
And sticking on the offensive side of the ball there, Chris, you know, you look at this Titans run game, it's been lackluster in some aspects, but, you know, you look at a guy they drafted this past year in Khalil Mullins, should they start utilizing him in the run game a little bit? I mean, he's got fresh legs, definitely a stocky guy, but, I mean, what do you do at that point? Do you attack it in that aspect, or do you still go back to the Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears combo?
Yeah, but see, here's the thing with Pollard and Spears, it's not that they're doing bad. It's being second and 15, third and 25. When you have situations like that, you can't really run the football. Because if you look at last week, look at the first drive of the Tennessee Titans. You had Pollard that ran off one for 17 and 15 and 13. But then in the second half, he has 4 yards. What's the reason behind that? Is because when you have a situation to where you try to pass it on first down, but then you're second and 15, or you have a penalty and it's second and 25, you can't run the ball. So I just think that they should stay with it, run the ball early, and stay out of third and second and long. That's how you get the running game going.
And then when it comes to the conservative play calling from Mike McCoy, what has to change there? Is it just solely McCoy's decision, or just Cam has to get through to him saying, we just got to do this?
Yeah, I mean, you have to do it, because if you look at the time, sometimes they're just really predictable. And the reason why they're predictable, we run on first down, then we throw on second. But then you try to change it up. And how can you change it up if you're second and 20, second and 15, because you had three false starts on one drive? So, you know, I just think that with Bo Hardigree, he's got to get a feel of what he wants to do. I mean, do some play action, do some naked boots, do some, you know, throw the ball downfield and just kind of loosen up the defense. But when you're second and 15 and third and 15, there's only so many things that you can do. So I just think they need to improve in that area.
Chris Sanders is with us. Last one for you, Chris. We call you forever Titans wide receiver, but you're also a forever Buckeye wide receiver. The Buckeyes in action tomorrow night against the Indiana Hoosiers for the Big Ten Championship. What is the vibe going into
this? Man, come on, man. We about to beat the brakes off these dudes. Indiana, whoever thought the Hoosiers would win a Big Ten champ? Listen, I love the coach. I love what they're doing. They're playing with a lot of confidence. But do they understand that they're about to run into a buzzsaw? You got two big-time wide receivers. You got Jeremiah. You got, you know, Tate. And then you got a monster defense with, I think his last name is Reese. And then you got, you know, some other defensive backs. These guys are physical. It's going to be a long day for Indiana Hoosiers because why? They got the best band in the land, but also they got the best wide receivers in the land. And also, they got the best logo in the land. Let's go, Bucks.
He's Chris Sanders, forever Titans and Buckeyes wide receiver, joining Chase and Big Joe today. Chris, appreciate the time,
man,
as always.
Appreciate you, bro. You have a good day.
Yes, sir. Right. You too. Chris Sanders joining the program. He's presented by Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll step aside, come back, react to what Uncle Chris had to say on the other side. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Brandon Bigsby here with you on Chase and Big Joe on 102.5 The Game.